There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Well, hello and welcome to today's WCN TV program. We are live and this is Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. Well, Donald Trump has been in office for a week and a day today and a lot has happened. Most of it very positive and good for our nation, although there's at least one thing he's working on that really disturbs me, but we'll get into that later. First, a few announcements and then we'll get into the program. If you're watching live on Rumble, please take a minute to like, share, and subscribe to our channel there. Likewise, take a minute now and share today's show on your social media and your email, whether you're watching on WCNTV.net or on Rumble. These things are really easy, but they really help us out. So please take a minute to like and share and subscribe. And if you're tuned in to WCNTV.net, please join us live today by clicking the Join the Studio Audience button. Then you can comment, ask questions, and be with us as part of today's show. Also, I want to talk to you about today's, this year's ministry conference. Can we put that? There we go. Let's make that really big, Jonathan. It's shaping up nicely. It's going to be a little different from previous years in that we're not going to be focusing so much on news and information, but rather our theme is revival and reverence, returning to God. Because that's what we really need in this country and in our individual lives. You know, it would be worth it to see just one of these guys, but how many do we have? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 speakers, plus national recording artist Leighton Howerton. So we're going to have Pastor Art Pulowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brewer from Florida, Pastor Matt Truala, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw from West Virginia, Don Wolf, Coach Dave, and Dr. Mike from Ohio. You've seen all of them here on WCN TV, and this is your chance to meet them all in person. Trust me, folks, you don't want to miss this one. It's going to be our best. There are also some great discounts for families with our early bird special. Families of up to 10 people can come for a total of just $250. But to get that deal, you need to get your tickets before March 4th. Regular tickets are still just $69. Conference is April 4th and 5th in Wausau, Wisconsin, right in the center of the state. And lastly, there are some great discounts on lodging at our hotel venue, but these rooms are limited, so I would advise you to get them early. Call, get all your information, tickets, and registration, at CoachDaveLive.com/events. CoachDaveLive.com/events. Get all your info there, or go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, which will take you to CoachDaveLive.com/events. Because we're not set up to do tickets, but Coach is, so we're using his platform again. And thank you, Coach, for doing that. All right, so moving on. Today we have Mark Sutherland with us live from the UK. It's been a while since Mark has been with us, so welcome back, my friend.
Good to be with you, Rob, and thank you very much for joining in, and good evening to, or good afternoon to everyone who's joining us in the studio. It's much appreciated.
Yes, it's much later is where we are, but we thank you for staying up late. Mark, with the election of Donald Trump and his first steps in office, the U.S. seems to be quickly coming out of its woke stupor. I don't want to get too optimistic too soon, but the DEI initiatives have been removed from the federal government here. Several corporations have followed suit as well, including the ultra-woke Target stores, which just announced they're ending many of their anti-Christian policies, including removing themselves from the grip of the Human Rights Campaign and reportedly will no longer be catering so much the LGBT and trans agenda. But the UK is still dealing with leftist policies that are extremely contrary to common sense, freedom, and Christianity. Some of the laws there are extremely draconian now. Case in point, free speech is gone. Jonathan, I sent you a photo there, if we can put that up. There we go. So people are being arrested for praying outside abortion centers. Social media is a dangerous place to be because now you can face jail time if you post the wrong things. And migrants, especially Muslims, now have special privileges that natural citizens no longer do. So here we have Sean Tuck, who posted anti-Islamic statements on his Facebook page, went to jail for 15 weeks. Then we have Sam Melia, who was found guilty last year of selling stickers with anti-immigration messages between 2019 and 2021. He's now serving 2 years in prison. And at the same time, we have Al Soamia. I don't know how to spell his last name. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Anyway, he was part of a Muslim gang that raped a 12-year-old girl repeatedly. His 2-year jail sentence was suspended, and he only received a penalty of 180 hours of community service. So, Mark, what do you think about all this? Has Britain become conquered by Islam?
No, I don't think Britain has been conquered by Islam. I'm not
saying
that. It
seems like they're getting special privileges.
Yeah. I don't think the country is done. However, at the end of the day, this depends on Christians, true Christians, not cultural Christians, not people that are Christian in name only, but people that seriously understand the spiritual warfare that we are in. And Rob, I haven't had time. I don't think I've spoken to you since our last election, which was last July. I can't remember the last time that we spoke. But in our last election on the 4th of July last year, 2024, 40% of the people that could vote, that are registered to vote, decided not to vote. I've explained to you, I think, in previous times that we have had what I would call a conservative in name only government for 14 years. If we go back to our previous Prime Minister David Cameron, who called himself the heir to Tony Blair, this is important. We'll touch on this if we get time. But he encouraged liberals to join the Conservative Party, and the Conservative Party has become this extremely, extremely broad church, Rob. We now have a prime minister and cabinet government in. They have a huge majority, and they are a bunch of ideologues. And I think that ideology is reaching a point where the rails could be coming off, because the state of our economy is going to the wall, as the money men in the city of London are not very happy with the projections of the lack of growth that this government are putting out, and the high taxes. We are so highly taxed, I think the first time since the 70s. This is the situation we are in. Their answer with their socialist left-wing ideology is to squeeze the public sector squeeze the private sector to pay for the public sector. We have a problem. We have a deep, deep, serious problem in this country, which we've had since the 70s. And we've had Pakistani grooming gangs beginning from them. We have a problem in the fact that no one on any side, even though there's been some investigations and some very, very brave people that have come forward to push that from retired police officer, people like the incredible Maggie Oliver, but also people like Tommy Robinson, who have raised this issue as well. Tommy at the moment is in prison because of he showed a film. They're saying it's contempt of court in the film that he showed, etc. And that is where he is in the moment, and in solitary confinement. So please, they've just moved him from Belmarsh to another prison. I hope he's out of solitary confinement, but I doubt it. Need to check that. But please pray for him. Please pray for him. Now, so this is the situation we're going on. And then what you have to go back to 1989. You have to go back to the book of Salman Rushdie, wrote called The Satanic Verses. Then people on the street, followers of Islam, objected to the Satanic Verses, objected to Salman Rushdie doing this. Then there was a fatwa named on him, put on him from Iran, etc. And that came on our streets in regard to free speech. It should have been dealt with then. It wasn't. But we have had these grooming gangs, rape gangs. They are rape gangs. They're not grooming gangs of white young girls that go down to the age of 12. And if not, I think maybe 9 in one incident. I don't even want to think about that. It's just unbelievable. So that's what we've got going on. But what we have got going on is the fact that, Rob, this has not been properly investigated, et cetera, et cetera. People have not wanted to investigate this because they were scared of being accused of racist and all of this kind of thing. And within certain communities, they are very, very Labour orientated. The Labour Party is really seeking their votes to survive and to stay in power. So let's talk about this. That there was a clip of Angela Rayner, who's the Deputy Prime Minister. Some of us would call her Angela No Brainer, and she, bless her, was then seen on her knees with other members of her constituency who are Muslim men, pleading for them, making sure that they vote for her. There was in that election, this is important, you would have heard of Nigel Farage and you would have heard of the Reform Party. And I interviewed about 30 people from the Reform Party as part of my contribution to try and help in the situation. And 95 constituencies, e.g. the areas where you've got about 630 members of parliament. So out of that 630, 95 seats is where Reform, the party led by Nigel Farage, came second, which is a standing start of 5 weeks leading up to that election, was a pretty amazing result. But this is our system says that you can, you know, you get 4 million votes and you only get 5 Reform members of parliament, where the Liberals get 3.7 million votes and have got, I think, 90-odd members of parliament. So we have a lot of people rather not in a good mood over here. We have this appalling thing. Just quickly say this. With Sam Melia, with the stickers, it's free speech, it's stickers. People, they then took offence to that. The particular judge, I think, that ruled against him had actually let off another man in regard to inappropriate behaviour with children. We do have a two-tier justice system. You have a two-tier justice system. We only have to remember what has happened with the J6 hostages, and I'll quickly just mention that and say, please buy this book, The American Gulag Chronicles, and support the J6ers. I know, Rob, that you have just had a friend of yours released after being given, a pastor being given 30 years and serving 6 months. This is this is what has gone on over in America is now in a different way, to some extent, is now playing over here. Jonathan, thank you for showing that. It's much appreciated. I sit on the board of this book, Rob, as you know, and say this to everyone listening, that I sit on the board of this book.
Yes, I've got a copy of that on my coffee table.
So. Brilliant. And please just buy them. We need to get these books into library, and all the money except the actual cost of printing the book goes to all the J6 prisoners and supporting them. So my friend David Summerall is front and center of that, along with everyone that sits on the board of that. So let's describe what we have here. We have now a prime minister in power. He was director of public prosecutions under the Tony Blair government at the time of Jimmy Savile. I'll just part that there. He is a legalist. He has spent his legal career in regard to attached to human rights, working hard to get rid of the death penalty in a few parts of the world. He has been a member of the Trilateral Commission, which he joined as Matt Kennard in a website called Declassified UK, which may be left-wing, but this is an article that Matt wrote in January 2020, I think. In July 23. And Matt said that that Keir Starmer had joined the Trilateral Commission anywhere between March 2017 and October 2018, and he left. According to the Trilateral Commission's website, he went into public service in 2022. Now, I didn't know any of this. I didn't know that he had actually been a member of the Trilateral Commission. There's a picture. I just wondered, Jonathan, if you could find it and put it up from that article. There's a picture of him having a meeting with the then American ambassador with Mike Pompeo. Now, why is this relevant? Of course, people within our community would have heard of the Trilateral Commission. My contact with Patrick Wood of Technocracy News, go on his website. Patrick is a real expert on the Trilateral Commission, wrote a book, Trilaterals Over Washington, I believe, with the incredible other investigator, A.C. Sutton. So there he is. There's the man in the middle, which is Keir Starmer. As I'm looking at the screen, to his right is Mike Pompeo, and to the left is the American ambassador. Around about 2018-19, he spoke at a meeting where there was members of MI5 and the leader of GCHQ and stuff like that. There are some. There is the rumor of him having flown out from this country to go and meet Eric Holder, and that there may be three or four flights that we can't find information about. There is a longer discussion here and exploration to do in regard to Julian Assange, etc. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because another article came out, I think, in January 24, trying to think of the man who wrote that, in a Labour Party magazine, I think Labour Heart or Heartland, and revealing more of Keir Starmer's Trilateral Commission. So in 1973, the Trilateral Commission is set up, David, that, and we know where this is going. Basically, it's a group, you know, it's corporations and their power. So David Rockefeller is there, Zubrinsky is linked with that. And if you go back in history, then people, I know it's not good to speak ill of the dead, but I just need to address it. As President Carter, who died recently, at least with him and the Trilateral Commission. Zubrinsky, of course, has gone, Zygmunt, who has been there in regard to statecraft in regard to your foreign Foreign Office and also your policy in regard to the Foreign Office. Zubrinsky's been out there, and we remember leading up to the fact that there was the overthrow of the Shah in 1979, and as he was having an operation on Qantar in America, Carter didn't really defend him. And then next minute, Iran has this revolution. And this is really important. You have the socialists joining with Islam and then the mullahs to then overthrow the Shah. The Ayatollah Khomeini is in a flat in Paris and is then sent back to Iran. And Iran literally overnight goes from a very Western country to asking women to full burqa and veils and all the rest. Why is this all relevant? It's all relevant because as things move, and then Keir Starmer, who is now became the leader of the party, in this photograph, Pompeo, I think, and the ambassador, but I think it's Pompeo, was saying, you know, we must make sure that Jeremy Corbyn, who was then leader of the Labour Party, doesn't become leader. And Corbyn, very much openly a socialist, Marxist, deluded. But very much, you know, what you saw, what you saw was on the tin. Where this particular guy, I think, is very deceitful. Is very deceitful for someone like me at times, where I think I'm rather informed, and then I things, and then I just I'm not informed. This is it rather irks me. Now, Jonathan, if you could very kindly, before we get back to King Charles, and I want to make a comment on that. But there is a comment that Keir Starmer is interviewed by Emily Maitlis. We'll come back to that picture in a minute. All right, we'll just say it. Here is Keir Starmer giving the knee with the deputy leader, deputy prime minister, as she is now. She's deputy leader then of the Labour Party. So here he is giving the knee. Now, you remember this, ladies and gentlemen, on your side of the pond, what you have been through with the Biden administration, with the George Floyd, with all of that, you remember Chuck Schumer and co with dear Nancy all giving the knee, all grouped together with a scarf around their necks. You will remember that. And here is Keir Starmer giving the knee, e.g., whatever is going out there in the public space, and to then say, how will this benefit me? There is a piece of footage, Jonathan, if you could go to it, which is where, as I said, he's being interviewed by Emily Maitlis, an ex-BBC, total lefty, married to a hedge funder. So here we go. Just watch this clip and the question that he is asked. Jonathan, thank you.
Let us just ask you quickly, you have to choose now between Davos or Westminster?
Davos.
Why?
Because Westminster is too constrained, and, you know, it's closed and we're not having meaning. Once you get out of Westminster, whether it's Davos or anywhere else, you actually engage with people that you can see working with in the future. Westminster is just a tribal shouting place.
Well, Mark,
I just have a question at this juncture. So is Starmer an open socialist or a closet socialist, and what do people think about his performance now?
Well, he's minus 35, approaching minus 40 in the polls. I mean,
so he's rivaling Canada's Trudeau then.
He is profoundly disliked. People suddenly realizing what he is, because just quickly referring to that Davos, this guy, Tony Blair, and you will remember Tony Blair because of his, meetings then, later on, his friendship with George Bush, with Bush Jr., and then Iraq and all this. He is now continuing the Blair project, which is to completely and utterly undermine the democratic process of this country, which has been undermined since Blair and what the Conservatives have done nothing about. This man's roots are, and he would maybe argue no, are in being a total Trotskyist. He thinks that basically as a technocrat, that it's the technocracy, it's keeping to the law, it's controlling, asking everyone to say, well, this is the law framework, you will now stick to it. So in other words, you have that wonderful phrase of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And for 4 years, many of you have felt that has been under massive dramatic attack. So we now have this ideological person in Rob. He is profoundly and utterly unpopular.
Well, I just saw a news article come across my desk today, which I did not have time to get into. I barely made it to the show tonight. But so in this country, we have MAGA, Make America yep. Great Again. And yep. I just saw a story, read the headline, looked at the map, and Europe is adopting the same policies. Only they call it MEGA, Make Europe Great Again. And so the EU countries are adopting some of the same policies, or at least they're attempting to, at least the people are attempting to. So I don't know if you've seen that, but
Yeah, I mean, the last thing is that the people in charge of Europe, you know, van der Leyen, or van der Leyen is her name, but we call her van der Leyen. The key thing is this, is that there is no economic growth within Europe. You over the last few years, you've had round about 3% growth a year. And at this rate, that could accelerate to 5 very quickly. There is no growth in Europe. We are spending our time blowing up our ways of actually producing energy, whether it's getting rid of coal-fired energy stations, etc. We haven't expanded into nuclear. So at this rate, we will see. I mean, just under 2 weeks ago, we had quite a cold snap over in the UK. And last week, there was potentially, 2 weeks ago, we could have had rolling blackouts on the Wednesday. It was then threatened on the Friday. Last week on the Friday, we've just had 102 mile an hour winds in certain parts up north in Scotland. So that's been rather interesting. And if you can imagine that if power starts to go down, that's not good. And also what has contributed, Rob, there you are, you've got this socialist mindset. You're supposed to be looking after working people. No, it's elitist. Before they gave a statement, Rachel Reeves is our chancellor, so she's in charge of budgetary issues, the finances of this country. She's had no real experience in that. I think maybe we'd find her running a complaints department in HBOS, I think. Supposedly an economist at the Bank of England. No. There are huge anomalies that we all found out in her CV a number of weeks ago. But before she then gave her address in regard to what our budget was going to be as a country, pictures were revealed on Twitter, Rob, which I waited to say, is this real, of them sitting down with Larry Fink of BlackRock and sitting down with Bill Gates. They have picked a fight with a number of people in this country. They've now picked a fight with our farmers. I do not have to tell you the great states of America where, remember, the UK fits into Texas 2.5 times. So in other words, if your food chain is under attack, and it has been, we know of the reports and over the last few years of blowing up food plants and all this kind of thing. And now there is a concern about egg production and they're all going bird flu and all this kind of thing. We, the farmers, some of our farmers over here have owned land that goes back 500 years. Hereditary, you you then pass your land on to your sons and daughters so that they could carry on farming. Now there's the law is changing where it says if you've got a farm that's worth over $1 million, then you will have to pay inheritance tax on that. There has been a inheritance tax that has been cancelled up till now. So they may be asset rich, but they are cash poor. And also, if you are then having meetings with Larry Fink and Bill Gates, you wonder what the conclusions are in regard to what they would like to do with the green and pleasant land of this country. And
it sounds to me like another land grab.
Exactly.
Once you have BlackRock involved, it's another land grab, yeah, like in Hawaii and North Carolina.
Absolutely. And there was a very, very good doorstepping by Ezra Levant and Avi from Australia for Rebel Media, where they actually doorstepped Fink at Davos. So this gentleman, Obama, is turning around. He is someone who believes in the law, right? He has got an appalling presentation, man. Sounds like a robot. He cannot adapt. And around the cabinet, within the government, only one of them who is in charge of this country, just about, you could argue, has some kind of business experience. Now, let's put it in context as well. When President Trump became the president first time round, and now he has done a Grover Cleveland, your last president to do this, which is a gap of 4 years, and then coming around the second time. When he became president in 2016, and you and I, we all remember that vividly because it was a huge fight. We had just voted to leave the EU. 17,410,700.
I was going to ask, did you actually do Brexit or not?
No, we haven't left. We haven't left. People will argue. Forever. That's right. People will argue, but we have not had a full Brexit at all. There's been a tie up, Rob, to do that. And the other thing to say is that Keir Starmer, as soon as we voted to leave, he became a member of parliament in 2015 in Holborn and St Pancras. As soon as we voted to leave, he has spent, this is really important, he spent a time working against that with so-called conservatives, other people within parliament. Many of the MPs there were very against voting out. He worked hard. He asked for a second referendum on all of this kind of thing. This is what he asked for. And they are edging us to line up with Europe. They want us to line up with Europe. They're not going to say, oh, we haven't gone back in, but we want to have some kind of open free trade agreement. Well, as I said earlier, the economic state of Europe is in an absolute mess. But here's the key thing I was going to say is that from 2016 to 2020, Keir Starmer's made some very derogatory remarks about Trump. So, as you know, Sadiq Khan, the excuse of a London mayor, I'll try and be polite. David Lammy, our foreign secretary, but I don't think he's going to have much to do with foreign secretary business in America, has been appalling, describing Trump as a fascist and all this kind of thing. And other people may do, but that's a subject for another day. And I could go on with other members of the cabinet that have made these appalling remarks. Rob, they don't believe in freedom. They believe in top down. They do not believe in any populist movement. They do not believe personally, if you've got with the decision that people voted to leave the EU with a majority of over $1 million, and then you ignore it. We have a democracy, which some people, you guys on your side of the pond, would describe it as mob rule. And you have a representative republic with alienable rights. So I'm trying to just give you very fast a background to who he is, who this government is, the history of what we have been through. We haven't got time, but the history of what we've been through as a nation since the Second World War, if not the whole of the 20th century, is why we are at where we are. We're looking at the Fabian Society, founded around about 1865. This is what we're dealing with. Your 20th century history and the attack via the formation of the Federal Reserve and all of this. This is what's been going on your side of the pond. We have been mirroring this. And I think, Rob, what's happened, we've finally reached a point where we can suddenly see a complete and utter communist state going into place. And it's a bit like in the dying days of Stalin's regime and the Politburo. And David Starkey, one of our principal historians over here, was just saying that the other day. This is how this government behaves. And what's going to happen is that because councils, county areas are running out of money, we are now going to see a division. We're going to divide up our country into small regions to then be run by mayors. That's the next thing. And I don't think people are waking up to this. And of course, with the agenda of digital IDs and all of that, that is something that the European Union wants to bring in. The European Union wants to censor X, Twitter. They want to do that. We've had the tweets where Musk has been having a go at the fact that the UK, they're concerned about the attack on free speech and stuff like this. So it's a heck of a lot. I do apologize. On the one hand, I'm throwing out a lot of information in a very short space of time, but you raised an important name, Justin Trudeau. We are now following the Canadian model on speed. Justin Trudeau and Keir Starmer a few months ago met in Brazil, you know, where Lula, another total socialist, was heading up a conference there. Keir Starmer, as soon as he'd become prime minister, he has got more air miles than me, and that's saying something, and has taken many flights to fly around. We have a huge immigration issue, as you know, Rob. You have had this on your southern border. This is very important to make these parallels because it's exactly the same. You have had more than 11 million people coming over your southern border, far more than that, as Ryan Matter's film with J.J. Carroll has pointed out, what is treason. If people haven't seen it, see it. And we have now got like a private army of young men in hotels up and down this country. There they are, illegal immigrants that have come over.
So do we, but they're on their way out.
Well, Rob,
some of them.
I praise God for you guys that it is. And
you guys have been dealing with this immigration for years and years. I believe it started with Germany and it has spread throughout Europe. So, but on that topic, I just want to interrupt you and talk about the riots from last summer.
Yes.
Those were sparked by a Rwandan teenager whose last name I can't pronounce, but he killed three young girls ages 6, 7, and 9 by stabbing them to death.
Put
them up on our screen so we can see them.
Let's go through a few things there.
So when the police went to his home, searched his home, they found he'd been manufacturing ricin, which is a deadly biological poison. And he had been studying a book called Military Studies in the Jihad Against the Tyrants, the Al-Qaeda Training Manual. He was also charged with attempted murder of 10 other children in this attack that happened July 29. Anti-immigration riots began right after that, but he wasn't charged with terrorism, correct?
He wasn't initially charged with terrorism. Let's just go through a few things. A very these three girls, very sad. I mean, it's indescribable. I'm not going to go into certain things that happened to them, but it's awful. And you can imagine that. So it's actually the ages of these beautiful girls were 7, 8, and 9. And what happened was there was an information vacuum. There were comments that were said on social media, and people saying that this guy, you know, the guy had done this was an immigrant. In fact, his parents were from Rwanda. They were brought into this country. They have links with the Rwandan political scene over there. I can't comment on the what happened in Rwanda and in regard to did their parents have any involvement in that. Not quite sure, but there is investigation done. Some good work that's being done on Twitter. I'm not up to speed with certain things, but what I will say is he was actually born in this country, and he has been radicalized then. And well, maybe
it's not hard to do when you've got so many Muslim migrants coming in every day.
Well, it's not, but it's
and no-go zones and all of that.
Well, hold on. It's not. It's not. If you look at how, if you are then part of an education system where the whole thing is to decolonize that, where you are then in a country where it seems to be everyone is saying, you know, look at what white people have done around the world, blah, 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 the empire, etc. So you get into these kind of subjects. But also, we believe that there is good and evil. We're not sure what has happened fully within the home. There is this whole thing, comments about the father trying to phone up the police. What do I do, et cetera, et cetera. There was a lot in there, but let's just stick to this. He went in. He killed these three beautiful young girls. He then injured, as you said, 9, 10 other people, other girls and two adults. And what happened was an information vacuum, and people started drawing conclusions. There were things that were said on Twitter, and people were very angry about that. Now, I would say this. I am not condoning the violence or some of the things said. However, what I am saying in the context of all that has been going on in our country, and I can't prove certain things yet, but I do believe this is going to come out. If you have been a human rights or lawyer, there are things that you would have then come across and dealt with. So for argument's sake, when you have relationships with Tony Blair, Sherry Blair, and Sherry Blair has been involved with immigration law, as in other people that he is then associated with. If you are then connected to a legal firm called Doherty Street, which you are then one of the founders of that, and then you then would have relationships with George Clooney's wife and all this kind of thing, and it goes in a variety of different directions, you then have a particular mindset. And if you are the prime minister of this country and you say you're going to sort the gangs out and the boats keep coming in and coming in and coming in, that is, and has done that for years under various governments, mainly the Conservatives. Immigration shot through the roof under Boris Johnson. That has to be said. And he's not a Conservative. The key is that quite rightly, people are angry. If this had happened in a town near me, etc., it's bad enough. The fact that what we see, and we're not emotionally attached on one level, but we all are, what has happened is so disgusting. It's beyond words. But he wasn't arrested immediately, as you say, Rob, and charged with terrorism. That came later. And that came where, as you said, Ryson, etc. And then people's suspicions that they had at the time of the riots, frankly, they began to be proven. And what's happened is that people have been locked up for hurty words. People said things online, they took it down, and then they have been put inside for that. And we have prisons that are overcrowded, so various prisoners that should have been in there still for many years were then released, and these people were put in. Now, suddenly, they found the wherewithal to put people in prison, put people into court, and this is what happened. We had riots around about 2011. I think then he was involved as director of public prosecutions, dealt with those riots. And we had courts that were rolling for 24 hours. We've had the same thing here. Now, afterwards, Rob, evidence is now coming out, and there are things that are now building up to put a particular case. I will just say this. The incredible Melanie Phillips wrote a book called London Stan about the whole of the world and their conflicts have then found themselves in London. This is not good. Also, other people that have come into our country. And I'll say there's going to be some there is also some very deep questions, because people have asked the questions and said, how much did Keir Starmer know? How much did the Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, know? They knew at the time that ricin and an Al-Qaeda manual was then found in his house. They knew that at the time, as being discussed with ex-ministers of the previous government, to say that they would have been told immediately, because ricin, I think it's just below sarin gas. And that is Saddam Hussein.
I read that ricin, the size of a grain of salt will kill. Yep. A 200-pound man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want to give you an opportunity to take a breath and ask people in the audience if you have any comments or questions. Now is your chance. Raise your hand. Talk to Mark. Betty, come on in.
I just want to thank Mark for what he did in helping out with the J6ers. I also got my books. Plus,
there you go.
Bought a whole bunch. I bought 6 extra to give out to people because they need to hear the story. And our J6ers and you and the other guy, Dave, I believe it, the one that's with you. You guys really need to get on as many platforms and let the world know what's going on. So thank you for doing that. And I don't trust Elon Musk.
No, and I, nor do I. And Betty, it's lovely to speak to you. And thank you so much for your kind topic.
I just want to give Coach Dave a plug, because he interviewed Bill Dunphy today. Mm. So if you go to CoachDaveLive.com, watch today's show, the Coach Dave Live show. And he interviewed Bill Dunphy, who... I believe he received 30 years sentence for preaching at the Capitol.
And 30 months.
I'm sorry, what was it?
30 months.
30 months, I'm sorry. He served 4 months and was released by Trump. So.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. And Betty, thank you for your kind words, because the other thing is, please bear... remember this in your prayers. We've just had a very, very sad incident with Mr. Hattie, I think is his name, or Hattle, in Indiana over the weekend, who was a J6 hostage. And knowing how your system works a bit, the police either, I'm just throwing this out, they either recognize his car plates, it either registered on their digital machines, and then he got pulled over. And then sadly we don't know what happened after you've been in prison in the way that they have had, and PTSD and all the rest, and saying, no, I've just got out of prison. No, I'm not going to get out of the car, etc. I don't fully know what happened, but sadly he was then shot dead. Now, we have then, these J6 hostages that have come out, depending on what happens on the computer systems of police then, you know, you could see domestic terrorist and pulled over. So please pray about this. This situation, I mean, it's awful what's happened. David has asked, he said, I want the body cams. We want to see what happens. How can we get around this? Because this is ongoing. This fight is ongoing. Your judicial system, the scales are well and truly out of balance. You know that with the left-wing orientated lawyers that you have and the left-wing judges. And just to remind everyone that when there are trials that have gone on in DC and then immediately the person that is on trial goes in, they're told that their constitutional rights are not applicable here in regard to their First Amendment, and that is suspended. Now, that is a shock to a lot of Americans. And I just want to say that I have had the privilege to support a dear friend of mine. That's been my job, to support my dear friend David Summerall in what he has been doing for over four years. Please, you know, remember him in your prayers as well. And we're looking at 1,600 people that have been pardoned, and also where their cases have been, their sentences have been suspended. So remember people like all the Oath Keepers in your prayers, because I think on Monday things are being cleaned, being sorted out over that. I need to have a chat with an attorney on your side over that. But
it's good that they were released, but this never should have happened in the first place.
And well, all of these
men and women.
I agree.
Lost, you know, they lost everything.
Yes.
Just through the lawfare.
Yeah.
Just trying to defend themselves. Mm. They lost their homes, they lost their jobs, they lost their reputations. And like you said, now they're on they have a criminal record. Mm-hmm. So
this is extremely serious. I had the privilege to interview one of them today, a couple, and the gentleman had been put inside, the cost of that, not, and all the rest, and seeing businesses go and all the rest. This is serious. I mean, I say this respectfully, and I've been screaming and shouting about this for 4 years. I don't think the American people have any idea in many ways what happened properly that day, or they don't want to. And I'm just asking them to get off their couch. And Betty, thank you for the amount of books that you have. Please go to libraries. All these books need to be in libraries and sold. This is not, you know, this is not some film or television series or entertainment. This is people's lives, where people have died. There have been a number of suicides in this situation. And when people like Enrico Torrio, you know, are given 22 years and they weren't even there, right? And then, of course, Stuart Rhodes as well, which was, I think, well behind barriers, was well out of the situation, but because it's him. So people are targeted. And here is the link, because there is a link over here in the fact that the way certain things have been targeted to prove a point immediately over, there are certain links in regards to Southport, but then again, no, it's not the same. It takes us far longer to talk about that. But we've got to remember, it's how government oversteps its mark. And over here, I feel that that's the truth. And then we remember the convoy in Canada and the fact that the FBI then gave information to the authorities in Canada. And remember the Canadian, you know, just Trudeau describing them as Nazis and fascists and all this kind of thing.
Mark, some of the things you've said on the program today, you may be expecting a knock on your door because I think you're guilty of wrongthink.
Well, I don't apologize for being guilty of wrongthink. I don't, it's the truth is the truth. We stand on that. And here's the big thing. If from tonight and having the privilege, Rob, to have this conversation, if anyone remembers anything from tonight, we have to look at history. I believe we are facing tyranny in the eye. Now, I don't know how I believe Jesus is coming back, but I don't know the timing of that. But in between, we need to be, Rob, you know, Wisconsin Christian News, you're out there doing this and encouraging people. We have to preach the gospel. There is only one way through this, which is salvation in Christ. That's it. Nothing else. There is no political solution to a spiritual problem. But I will then say, I believe at the moment, and as long as Trump doesn't do a particular thing, this is you being given some time. Betty, I hear what you're saying about Elon Musk. Elon Musk, the history, looking at what he believes in, which is maybe influenced by a Russian philosophical thinker, I think, called Fedorov, which my dear friend Carl Tigrib has done an investigation on. It's in his book, Game of Gods. This, and also technocracy. Elon Musk's grandfather was head of the Technocracy Society in Canada, and then they went to South America. And Technocracy Society, the link is with the Nazis. That's a subject for another day. But it's this kind of thinking. We got to be aware, and we got to be praying. But I believe you've been given some space here. Please don't waste it. It is about preaching the gospel, getting behind what Rob does, Wisconsin Christian News, and other people that I know. But I do believe that you've been given that time. People have been praying, and so far, you know, Trump's decisions and what he's saying are causing ripples to come across the Atlantic, and they are turning into waves on this side, because people are going, why can't we have low taxes? Why can't we drill baby drill? Why do we have to put up with this green tyranny when we're going to start to see the lights go off like we did in the 70s? People are not, I'm my prayer is that people are not going to put up with this. But in the meantime, as Coach Dave, I know, has said many times, we are not called to sit on our couches, as the opening music to this song, to this show from Leighton says, you know, just to get out there, get out there and get on the streets, etc. This is really important. You've been given that time. I am envious of that. On one hand, but it doesn't mean I won't be coming across the Atlantic. I am. But that's my prayer for you, that people will not get complacent and think, oh, great, we can go back to the football game. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the football game. But if it's a distraction away from what needs to be done in your country, and I'll say this just quickly, without any hyperbole, and David Summerall said this, that the 1,600 J6 hostages, I believe they have shown America, if it's willing, what the cost is to actually stand up for what is right, and that they have saved your country. Now, to some, that may seem quite a huge statement, but they have saved your country. They did not expect on January the 6th, with the other 2 million people that were there, with what happened. The police, the state authorities wanted a bloodbath. They wanted to see many deaths. David and I have concluded that they wanted a Tiananmen Square moment. He's someone that's gone through the 40,000 hours in regard to the footage there. So I'm going to leave you with that statement. We're praying for you. And please pray for the UK. Thanks, Rob.
Yes, and there was much more we had on our list to get to today that we're not going to get to today.
No.
Any final comments or questions from anyone in the audience? We're down to about a minute here, and that includes our song on the way out. So
you need to invite him to your conference.
I did.
Well, please, I would love to come over. Please pray about that.
He's a little bit far away.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to come over. Let's pray about that and provision for airfare. So I'll just throw that out. But I would love to do that, because there's lots to explain. But Betty, thank you.
Yes. And in the meantime, folks, you can find Mark on his website at marksutherland.org. There you go.
And you can find me on the Sutherland Report on YouTube and Rumble. Maybe it's easier to find that. That website needs a huge upgrade. But thank you. Thank you, Rob.
So the Sutherland Report on Rumble, you said.
Yeah, and YouTube.
And YouTube. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're letting you stay?
No, really. I had a good interview pulled down the other day, but I'm slowly going to move to Rumble. I'm fed up with YouTube.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. We are out of time. Folks, Dr. Mike will be here next week, but I'll be back in 2 weeks with another wonderful guest for you. And until then, God bless. Thanks.